Welcome to the United We Pledge podcast, a place where we explore the way we can work together in our communities to fulfill our mission of shared responsibility and allegiance to the traditional American values of freedom, family, and faith. This is the place where we accept our duty to be constitutional, law-abiding citizens. You are invited to join us as we meet individuals who are fulfilling and pledging themselves and their resources to this mission. Each week, we will tell the great American story that will inspire you and the next generation to stand united and pledge allegiance to this great nation. We're excited to have you back on the United We Pledge podcast. My name is Colleen Rue, your host today, and our guest is Melanie Tagg. Melanie, welcome to the podcast, and I want you to just give us kind of a brief, who is Melanie?
Sure. I am a native Northern Virginian who took a detour for about 8 years in Utah while I went to school, while my husband finished school, and then returned to Northern Virginia to raise our family. By degree, I'm an engineer. By vocation, I'm a teacher. And by passion, I would say, I love to look for ways to find civility in the public square.
And Melanie, you're speaking exactly why we reached out and wanted to have you on this United We Pledge podcast. And I just happened to be on social media one day and came across an article in Deseret News that talked about the Uniters of Loudoun County, Virginia. And your name was there as one of these Uniters. And as I read the article and what you were able to do in your community, I thought, this is exactly what United We Pledge is all about unifying people who come from different backgrounds, from different religious affiliations, from different political parties, and uniting under our common humanity, our common goals, so that we can move forward, because that is what America was founded on, and that's what we need to preserve. And so I want you to kind of take me back, and we don't need to dive into necessarily the politics of what was going on in Loudoun County, but I think a little bit of background would be helpful for our listeners to know exactly what the temperature was in Loudoun County when these Uniters, who we'll get into who these people are, including yourself, were able to do some great work.
Sure. The really long-term background, in a word, is that Loudoun County used to be a very agrarian, rural community. I went to high school in Loudoun County. There were only four high schools in the whole county, and it was simple living. The local newspaper used to say, who spent the night at whose house for a sleepover? That's what Loudoun County used to be like. Today, Loudoun County often ranks one or two among the fastest growing counties in the nation, and as a result has changed in every demographic way possible, via immigration, political leanings. We've gone from being a red state to a blue state, back to a purple state in a very short period of time. And Loudoun County itself, while it still has a bit of a rural agrarian heritage, it's a unique county in the nation in that it ranks near the top among how educated its population is, but also that it has large family size. And usually those two things don't go together. And so, boy, do we have people invested in education and education policy. We have a county full of smart people with strong opinions in all areas that have to do with their families and their kids. And when you add to that the polarized nature of the nation currently, that shows up here in Loudoun County, where there are strong sides taken on every issue, from masks and school shutdowns to how to teach racial history in schools, to LGBTQ plus policies, and on and on and on. We are kind of the poster child for polarized communities and what they have looked like in the nation over the last 8 or so years.
Yeah, and I think as the COVID-19 pandemic came to a head and in 2020, 2021, we saw a lot of this polarity that you're talking about, a lot of this divisiveness in our school boards. And that's really where this article that I caught onto really was showcasing your efforts, where the school boards were just, it was completely divisive. There was a complete disjoining of any humanity that we had. People were upset. They were angry. They had different sides that they were very passionate about. And enter you in the Community Levy Association of Loudoun County. What is that association? What do you guys do? And have you been doing this prior to 2021?
Not too much. We're kind of new kids on the scene. The Community Levy Association is led by a wonderful gentleman by the name of Chris Stevenson. And he has used the Community Levy Association to do good, to help societies thrive and flourish, particularly for those that are marginalized and find themselves on the fringes of society. So the Community Levy Association has sought to find, to help school dramatic productions be more virtuous in reflecting what they portray. This Community Levy Association has had projects for feeding the hungry and for collecting money to help immigrant populations pay their rent and find employment. Some of the efforts of the Community Levy Association have been to help the incarcerated to transition back into mainstream society. So it's a very small organization, and up until now has been responsive to a variety of needs as they've seen them. In Loudoun County, I should say more broadly in Virginia, a couple of years ago, I'd have to look up the exact date, the state of Virginia mandated every school system needed to have an LGBTQ plus policy, particularly protecting transgender students in the schools, and that everyone had to have a policy like that in place by the first day of school 2021. And the Community Levy Association started really noticing how fracturous this debate was. There was a particular school board meeting about a year ago, right now, June of 2021, where the system for our school board meetings, in my humble opinion, leaves a lot to be desired. I think that's going to be one of our future projects, is maybe to help massage that system a little bit. But there will be public school board meetings where anyone can sign up to speak, and they're given a fixed amount of time. If there's a lot of people on the docket, it's about 60 seconds. And it's not very organized. You might hear one speaker talk about racial curriculum. You might hear another speaker talk about masks. You might hear one being complimentary and another one with vein bulging anger. And so by the system encourages circus. It didn't mean to, but that's a sad residual effect of the system. And so at the Community Levy Association, we really, really were troubled at the rancor, at the anger, at the unkindness, sadly in both directions. There were those that made mockeries of religion that were in favor of the policy. And there were those that made a mockery of transgender lifestyles that were on the right side of the debate, equally unkind and super troubling. And so while we at the Community Levy Association we take a stand kind of on zero policies. We don't write policy papers. We don't take sides on issues. Our Fairness for All department is in favor of helping to create climates where both sides can hear each other and themselves find middle ground, not us suggest to them middle ground. I just referenced Fairness for All. There have been efforts in Utah and some efforts nationally to try to specifically in the transgender arena, try to find ways to balance the protection of transgender rights with religious rights. And we thought, okay, it's been modeled for us how to try to do this. Let's call our efforts Fairness for All and try to model what Utah did, which many people would say was successful. Not 100% consider the compromises that were made a success, but by many, many measures, great success. So that was kind of our springboard, the boiling over anger and our efforts to try to introduce respect, civility, and trust between these parties that were so angry at each other.
And that's what I really want to dive into, because it's so interesting how you went about this, inviting these parties together. And some of the parties, as you invited them, they were hesitant to come to the table. This wasn't an easy thing.
Right. I think you could take almost any issue right now in our nation that is divisive. Gun rights, abortion rights, in many cases, LGBTQ plus rights. And enough incivility has happened that distrust is the order of the day. And in many cases, folks don't even want to come to the table because they've already decided that the folks on the other side of an issue are not trustworthy. And especially if they're a vulnerable population, they feel they fear they'll be victimized when they come to the table. So we tried in a couple of different ways to encourage the school board to more civilly bring folks to the table. And I'm thankful for anyone that runs for office and serves in public office for a whole host of reasons. Every single member of the school board was unresponsive on our efforts to try to bring some civility to the debate. So after a while, we thought, why can't we try? Why can't we have meetings and then try to publicize that we did and how they went? And so primarily with Chris Stevenson, our president's awesome connections throughout the community, he invited quite a few leaders from the LGBTQ plus community. And we invited quite a few folks that were opposed to an LGBTQ plus protection policy. Once we had all these yeses, we sent out the agenda and the proposed attendance list to all parties. And our friends on the LGBTQ plus side said, we can't come. We don't trust some of the names that we see on your list. So we felt a little defeated. We thought, is this impossible? Can you not bring opposing people to the table? And then I don't remember how the idea was born, but the idea was born, let's meet with them separately. Maybe they don't trust us. We had underestimated that it was an assumption that we were trustworthy. So we planned two meetings to be held consecutively, one right after the other. We even put a buffer in between so that nobody would run into each other. And so one morning we met for about an hour and a half with folks with concerns and some opposition to the policy that protected our trans students. We had a couple of parents that were very civilly active. We had one a school board member known to be more conservative in his votes. One person who had actually formed his own nonprofit to fight a lot of these left-leaning principles and policies. The format of the meeting was based on a lot of advice we'd gotten both from human behavior experts and some very generous Utah friends who had participated in Fairness for All efforts, teaching us how to make this happen. And they said, the first thing you have to do is to get people to trust each other. And the way you do that is super simple. You do icebreakers. And we're like, we're trying to change the world. What do you mean icebreakers? But our first agenda item was we ran around the table one at a time, no interruptions. What's your favorite meal? Share a childhood memory.
So you were finding common ground with these people. It's just so interesting that this is where you started as, you know, preschool, first day of school, that this might be. That is really the base that we had to start from, because we just take, I guess, like you said, we just assume that people have this trust when they really don't know anything more about us but what maybe has been said about us or what we have presented in a political argument or in a very divisive argument.
And boy, do we as humans fill in the gaps of what the other person is like. When we know a little bit, we think we know the whole story. And what we found was, we're all the same. We laugh together. There was a lot of, me too. I've had that happen. It was very binding. It was lovely. We then went around the circle again and had everybody share, what brings you to the table? What is your interest in this policy? I'll refer to it as Policy 8040. That's the name of the proposed transgender policy, transgender protection policy. And everybody was very candid about this right-leaning group, about their fears of bathroom use and sports participation and field trips, overnight field trips especially, pronouns, all the different transgender issues. So it was a lovely exchange. We were glad about how it went. After we adjourned, we reset up the room, and then in came our LGBTQ plus leaders, advocates in the county, such super people. And I have to say, we at the Community Levity Association at the CLA, we take no sides. We have no issues that we advocate for. But I do have to point out for these LGBTQ plus folks, they had no reason to come to the table. This policy was going to pass. The state had mandated there was a policy in place. the entire, most of the school board was left-leaning and going to pass it. There was no political reason why these LGBTQ plus leaders even needed to come to the table. The only reason they did is because that they saw conciliation as the higher road, that it would serve us well moving forward if we were friends and not enemies. So I give them a ton of credit for showing up. We learned a lot. We learned vocabulary and lifestyles and issues that we'd never heard of before and that we knew nothing about. And just in that same way, what's your favorite meal? What's a childhood memory? We parted as friends. We parted as good, good friends. Probably the biggest measure of success, I would say, is that each group reported at the end of the meeting, we now trust the Community Levy Association, and so we're willing to meet together with you as a broker. So that's kind of what we were hoping for, and that's how it went. One little glitch that we found was that a lot of our right-leaning friends were not motivated by their own reporting by religious freedom per se. They were motivated by all kinds of other things. And some of them also wanted us to take these processes and apply them to all the issues. And we thought, if we go too far afield, we're going to achieve nothing. We need to stay tight. We need to stay narrow to demonstrate on one issue how this can work. And so when everyone agreed, yes, let's have a broad meeting, we invited new people to come and sit on the side that had concerns, religious freedom concerns about policy 8040, so that we could really follow that Utah fairness for all model in our own newness at this whole game. We thought that's kind of a safety net we have to protect. So that was a little bumpy, thanking some people for coming, but we're going to invite other people in their place. And we're so thankful for everyone that participated at every turn. So we're keeping the school board up to date the whole time we're going, and they're starting to pay attention. Now that they hear that there are folks coming to the table together, we're starting to get a little bit of response, which is super.
Yeah, that is, it is super. And I think it's, again, this is something that you are modeling for the rest of us in our communities. And we can do this in our communities. And I think that's the message that we want to send with United We Pledge, is that this is possible, even on the hardest issues, when people are on such opposing sides, we can do this. We can come to that place and we can start from, what's your name? Where are you from? How long have you lived here? What does your family look like? Because at the end of the day, I'm sure what you guys found was everyone was worried about these kids' best interest. It may have been in different ways, but at the end of the day, I think we can always come back to a common value.
Absolutely. And that was the common ground. We've, with the benefit of hindsight, what we've seen that the process is that you find trust and build it, and then you find consensus, and it's always there. There are always things about which you all feel the same. Always. In the example you gave, we all were interested in all children feeling safe at school and having a positive academic and social experience. The hard part is that then the next step is then compromise. And I'm not sure we'll ever get to compromise without trust and consensus first. That those then allow us to have the audacity to suggest that maybe each of us could give a little in order to find a way forward. That's what the nation's founded on. That's how constitutional government works, is for us to give and take with opponents until we find something we can all live with. So.
Yeah. And that compromise, I kind of want to spend a minute there, because that's where I think we get stuck a lot. Like you said, we have to have these other things in place first, because that compromise part gets so difficult for us when we're just feet in the ground, digging our heels in, saying, this is the only way to do this. This is the only way to protect our children. This is the only way, you know, whatever the issue is. In coming to that compromise, and how do you, you know, you're a human being, you have your own values that you hold. How do you hold true to your values and also allow others their ability to hold to their values and hold space? How do you do that?
That's a big, big question. I would say for me personally, it's simply that my highest value, the thing that I value the most, is human dignity, is that every single person deserves respect, dignity, understanding, a safe space in the world to be loved and appreciated and included. And when that's the highest value, when that's the highest aim, it's okay that we think differently about different things. It's okay that we're not the same. But I have to stop ever thinking that because someone disagrees with me, they must be my enemy. Or because someone disagrees with me, they must be bad. I think that's what we have to eliminate. What I think, if it's 180 degrees different from what you think, is we can draw no moral conclusions from that, that one of us is better or worse, more lovable or less lovable, more or less worthy of dignity and respect. I think you said it a minute ago. We have to learn to live in a space where we can all be who we are and get rid of the notion that allowing someone else that space is not a compromise of who we are. If anything, it improves who we are that we respect someone else's ability to live who they are.
Yeah, I love that, Melanie. And I think you've said that beautifully. And that's what it's all about. And if we can just go forward, I just imagine more of these CLAs across the country. I mean, how are there more groups like this that are operating? Is this the only one here in Loudoun County?
Certainly, it's kind of a standalone institution. There are not other branches or chapters of it, but we do come on podcasts like this and have newspaper interviews exactly to that end, that people will say, wow, we have a really rancorous issue in our community that could use this approach a lot. We are not a group that advocates for the LGBTQ plus community. This process that we went through could have been on any issue. We're about the process, about bringing conciliation. You know, when we finally did get these two groups together, it was only about, a week before the vote was scheduled for the policy to pass. And so it was a beautiful meeting. There were nine of us there. There were three from the CLA. There were three from LGBTQ plus leadership in the county. And there were three from different denominations interested in religious freedom. And we did the exact same agenda as we had done in our separate meetings. We went around and built trust. We did those little elemental icebreakers. And we laughed together. And we understood each other and had a beautiful experience. That alone would have been a success to me, had that been the only thing we did. But the thing we added to this meeting was, after that step, we then went around one by one and said, do you trust each other enough? Is there enough trust in the room to address the next question? And they all had the questions in front of them. There weren't any surprises. And the next question was, what brings you? What is your interest in 8040? And it was very predictable. Our LGBTQ plus friends were interested in the protection of the trans student population. And our religious freedom friends were interested in protecting the religious freedoms of folks that felt uncomfortable with different pronoun use or bathroom policies. And the CLA's purpose for being there was to try to honestly broker a climate where these two folks could talk, these two sets of folks could talk to each other. And then we went around again. Is there enough trust? Do you feel comfortable going forward? And everyone said yes. And we had told them going in, if there's a no, we'll stop. We'll only move if we're unanimous on there being enough trust. Then the third question, which is where the rubber meets the road, what have you heard? Where are we already the same? And how could we improve this policy to reflect the fact that we're already the same? So we went from trust to consensus. What consensus do we all already have? And within 30 seconds, there was tons of consensus. In this particular case, it all surrounded around privacy, that the religious freedom folks wanted safety and privacy for their children that lived a straight lifestyle and didn't want to be exposed to these things at too young of an age. And the trans leaders were like, our kids want privacy too. They might be as embarrassed to be using the bathroom of a different gender than the kids there are. We're the same. We're the same on this. And the place where we had zero consensus and therefore zero hope of compromise was on parental rights. The religious right folks, they wanted parental sign-off for teachers and staff to use a different set of pronouns or bathroom use of a different gender. And the LGBTQ folks said very openly, we don't trust the parents. We've seen too many times where a kid that has come out to their parents and being treated badly, and maybe this is anecdotal, maybe it's not statistical, but we can't in good conscience give too much to the parents of this population. And so that's fine. In my perfect world, we'll still find compromise there. We'll keep trying until we do.
I just love this. And this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming on our United We Pledge podcast. Thank you for sharing Loudoun County's story. And I just challenge our listeners to learn more about the Community Levy Association. And how do they do that? What's your website for that,
We're
Melanie?
Just at communitylevy.org. And there you can either reach out to us that way, or I can even share my personal contact information with you so that anybody that reaches out to you through this podcast can contact us that way as well.
Perfect. Absolutely. We'll put some of those in our show notes. And please know that this is possible. It is possible that we can trust, we can come to a consensus, and that we can find compromise with whatever issue that we're dealing with. And just a beautiful story. And thank you guys so much, and continue to do great work. I hope that we can check in with you again sometime and hear more stories of how Loudoun County is really setting a standard for how we can manage our own communities. So thank you, Melanie.
Thanks, Colleen. Thanks for having me. And thank you so much for allowing us to share this story of optimism. I think we can go good places.
Thank you for listening to the United We Pledge podcast. It's brought to you by Balance of Nature. If you'd like to join us in inspiring freedom, faith, and family here in America, go to unitedwepledge.org. And don't forget to follow us on social media.